Let's look at the Word of God. I want to use my mother's Bible today. This was her Bible. I'm going to preach from it. My mother passed away at the age of 60, August the 7th, 2004. And she had a horrible and debilitating disease that really kept her in pain and suffering for 20 years. Evelyn and I started dating. That's about the time she became ill. But on this day, I want to thank God for a good mother. I want to thank God for a good mother, a Christian mother, and a mother who prayed for me. And I'll never forget, as a wayward young man, I left her in the living room, down on her knees in front of a chair, praying for me as I went out to party with my buddies. I found this note is written actually on a blank page in the Bible of hers. It's written in January of 99. That was a year, I believe, after Hannah was born. My wife, when Hannah was born, my wife developed dilated cardiomyopathy and had to be sent to the Medical College of Virginia in Richmond and different places, Cleveland Clinic. And my mom, as sick as she was, took care of Hannah. But my mom wrote this a year after Evelyn had been diagnosed. It says, "It's me again, Lord. Lord, Evelyn needs you to touch her now, Lord, her heart. I'm trusting you now, Lord, to help her. I know that you're going to. I right now, Lord, plead your blood over her heart, claiming healing for her. Thank you, sweet Jesus." Then underneath of it, she wrote again a few days later, "It's me again, Lord, thanking you. Lord, so many times you have brought me through. Even as I write this, Lord, I know that you are working in my body. I love you so much, Jesus. Can't put it into words. Thanks for all you do for me. Thanks for life. Thanks for family. They mean so much to me, and I'm so very proud of what you have done in their lives. Thank you, dear Jesus. You're so wonderful. These grandchildren that I have tonight, how special. And Emily, too, that's my sister's baby that had just been born, I believe. Lord, as their grandmother, do with them as with their mom and dads. Again, I bring them to you. Place them in your wonderful big hands. I know that you will continue to take the right care of them." I could read more, but you get the idea. I'm glad I had a mom that prayed for me. My mother, I'm going to preach out of the text. I was looking at her Bible yesterday, and I just happened to be just going through it. And I turned to Psalm 126. So that's where we're going to look today, Psalm 126. But beside of that psalm, she wrote down these words: "Saved May 20th, 1975, Dr. Lewis Arnold." She was saved at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. And that day, I'm going to preach from the text that Dr. Lewis Arnold preached from, Psalm 126. Just let me mention this. Mom was saved May the 20th, baptized 5 days later in Elk River. And Dr. Lewis Arnold just passed away this year. He was 101 years old. He had 80 years in the ministry. And I'm thankful for that. Matter of fact, just last year, my son heard him preach at their church. He was still preaching, 100 years old. Pretty amazing. But I want us to look at Psalm 126. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Dear Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for everyone that's here. May every person here get help from the Holy Ghost. May you be pleased with everything that's said and done. Bless each mother. Give them a special day today. I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Again, I want to say I'm thankful for a praying mother. You know, the Bible says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I'm praising my mother today. I want to preach on that passage that my mother, I don't know if she's like me, I couldn't tell you, she wrote this down in her Bible, but I don't know what the preacher preached on the day that I went to church and was convicted by the Holy Ghost. I just knew the Holy Ghost was on me. But I want to use this particular text, just have several points, and then we'll let you go out of here. Number one, true salvation seems too good to be true. True salvation seems too good to be true. In verse 1 of this psalm, the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It's when a person's saved, truly saved, it's almost too good to be true. It's like a dream. It's when you realize what Christ has done for you and how you were a sinner and without hope and without God in this world, and yet the Son of God died for you. You realize that it's like a dream. When you realize you can get forgiveness and you realize you can get help and you realize that God loves you, it's almost unbelievable, isn't it? True salvation is like a dream. When you think about this, it says here, notice in verse 1, it says, turned again the captivity. You understand that when you're lost, you're captive. You're captive. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. When I was saved, I felt my heart. I felt freedom. I felt that burden come off of me. It was just like the song, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. I felt that when God saved me. It was like a dream. It was too much for me to fathom. I couldn't understand it, but I know that he had done it. I felt like Squire Parsons wrote a song. And listen, he could have wrote it from me. I mean, I felt like when I heard that song, I thought, that's exactly what happened to me. I got on the phone and I called my mom. And I got on the phone and I called my grandparents. But Squire Parsons said in his song, he said, but all those weary days, they're over now. Those sleepless nights are past. All those prayers that you have prayed so long, they're answered now at last. For I'm not the boy I used to be. Mama, you can sleep tonight, for I found Jesus and everything's all right. I'm telling you, I can tell you right now, my mom, when she heard those news, that was relief to her. She wasn't going to pray that night about it. She found some relief there when I made that call. God, it's like a dream. I can tell you the same thing in our life. My son Matthew, he gave us fits one night. And when Matthew called, it was never good news. And it was always in the middle of the night, seemed like. And he called one night, and it was late, and I was about half asleep. It was about 11:30 probably, 10 o'clock. I don't remember what time it was, but it was late. I remember that. And when his phone rang, when he called, it just about put me in cardiac arrest every time, because it meant I was going to have to go get him out of a ditch somewhere, or the cars broke down or some kind of nonsense. So I just knew it wasn't going to be good news when he called. But he called that night, and he couldn't talk. All he was doing was just sobbing. And Evelyn shook me and said, "Matthew's been in a wreck." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, he can't talk to me. He's trying to say something." And finally he got out. I got saved. It's like a dream. It's like a dream. True salvation seems too good to be true. A soul, when you realize that you were captive to sin, and Jesus set you free. And then you realize you're a soul deserving death. The Bible says a soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 that he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, it's appointed unto man once to die. We are all heading that way. Unless the rapture happens and you're a Christian and get raptured out of here, you're going to die. But you know what? There's another death. There's a second death. And that's the death that you don't want to be a part of. You want to escape that second death. And I'm telling you, there's only one way to escape it, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one place to flee. You need to flee from the wrath to come, and there's only one place to go, and that's Jesus. So it's like a dream because you realize you don't have to go to hell. You realize that you're saved from hell. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation, you don't have to go to hell. You can trust Jesus Christ and be saved. That's good news. That's enough to make you want to dream. I'm glad today I can proclaim that. I'm glad I can preach the gospel. I'm glad I've got good news for every sinner who will come to Jesus Christ and trust Him. Don't matter how poor you are. Don't matter how rich you are. Don't matter how bad you've done. Those things don't matter, does it? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. So if He can save the chief, He can save you. I'm glad for that today. Being saved is like a dream. Number two, salvation comes from God. Salvation comes from God. Look at verse 1 of our text. It says, when the Lord turned. When the Lord turned. I just want to tell you today, you can't turn yourself. You can't turn yourself. A lot of people try that, but you can't do it. I want to say to you today, you cannot save yourself. You can't save yourself. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. I want to read to you. You can hold your place there in Psalm, but I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 1. You know this passage. Most of you have been in church probably all your life, but I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I'm glad that says that, but God, who is rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'm just trying to tell you today, you were dead in trespasses and sin. God has to quicken you. God has to turn you. You can't do it on your own. John chapter 1 and verse 11 says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I wasn't even looking for God. But He was looking for me. I couldn't go. I didn't have any desire for God. But He's put a desire in my heart. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. He sought me, as the old hymn says, and He bought me. I'm just trying to tell you today, I was like the Apostle Paul. I was going down the road, and He stopped me. He got a hold of me. The old song, we used to go to a camp meeting, an old man get up and he'd sing this old song, "Something got a hold of me last night. Something got a hold of me. I went there to fight, but oh, that night, something really got a hold of me." Listen, God is able to save, isn't He? He has to do it. God has to save. I used to walk according to the course of this world, but God changed my life. And He's made me... The Bible says here in this passage we read that I was by nature the child of wrath. But now I sit in heavenly places. My grandma, I buried her about a week ago. And I sat back there in my study this morning and I said, "God, I don't know what they know up there, but You tell them I love them." You tell my mom, my grandma, my grandpa, I love them. I don't know if they can hear, I don't know if they know it or not. But boy, I sure appreciate them. I sure appreciate them. I appreciate the influence they had in my life and on my life. And I'm glad that my mom was praying not just for me, but for my kids. I'm glad for that. I hope you mothers understand the importance of prayer. We need to pray, don't we? Then the true salvation causes us to rejoice. In Psalm 126 again, the Bible says, verse 2, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." We got something to rejoice about, don't we? If you're saved today, you got something to rejoice about. I'm going to live eternally. I'm going to live with Jesus eternally. I may get sick here. I may have all kinds of health problems, but one of these days I'm going to get a new body. One of these days everything's going to be good. This is just going to feel, when I look back at the time I spend on this earth, it's just going to be a fleeting moment compared to eternity. I know it's tough sometimes here, but really, this is a very short span compared to eternity. And I have been promised eternal life through Jesus Christ. So I've got something to rejoice about. I've got something to be thankful for. In John chapter 15, I'm going to read this to you. You can turn there if you like. You can look at it later. John chapter 15, I'm trying to hurry. I know you guys got Mother's Day dinner plans. And if we don't beat the Methodist to the restaurant, we'll never get a table. John chapter 15, verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Jesus is saying here, He wants our joy to be full. Joyful. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Is joy. I don't want to go around looking like I've been drinking dill pickle juice. I like dill pickle juice, by the way, but I don't want to go around looking like I drank it. I want to have some joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to be a joyful Christian, don't you? I failed the Lord the other day. I'll be honest with you. I'll just tell it all, brother. I was in Kroger's in the express lane on lunch. That means I only drove there. I got about 10 minutes to get back. And there's this lady in front of me in the express lane, and all of a sudden she pulls out this notebook, and it's a binder full of coupons. Now, she's only got about 15 or 20 items, which is fine for the express lane, but she's got a coupon for every one of those items, and she wants to argue about every coupon she has with the cashier. And I just turned around and leaned up against the counter and crossed my arms. My body language was not being very nice. And after I got out of there, I said, Lord, I was wrong. I didn't get it out of the parking lot till the Holy Spirit convicted me about it and said, boy, that was a good Christian attitude you had there. Well, she shouldn't have been in the express lane. She wanted to do all them coupons. I'm just trying to tell you, people look at us, don't they? And they pay attention to the way we behave. And we ought to be joyful, shouldn't we? I couldn't witness that woman after that, because she'd say, well, you's that jerk who's behind me at the Kroger's. I want to be pleasing to him, don't you? I want to be joyful. She might need the Lord. I needed to be a Christian. I need to be a Christian in front of her and the cashier. So we ought to have, we got a cause to rejoice, don't we? The hymn writer said, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs overflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am His and He is mine. Did you ever feel like that? Did you ever come out and look at and the trees look greener and the grass looks greener and the birds sing louder? And listen, we ought to have that joy in our heart, shouldn't we? We ought to have that joy in our heart. We got a lot to rejoice about. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So true salvation sometimes seems too good to be true. When a hell-deserving sinner like me, when God saved me, that seems too good to be true. True salvation comes from God. And then thirdly, true salvation gives us something to rejoice about, doesn't it? And then fourth, true salvation ought to be shared. True salvation ought to be shared. Verse 5 of Psalm 126 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I can't help but think about my mom crying over me. She was sowing in tears. But she ended up reaping in joy. A lot of you mothers have sown in tears, I'm sure. But one of these days you can reap in joy. We need to be sharing this thing. You know, what men sow, they reap. You understand that. You know that's in the Bible. What men sow, they reap. If they sow precious seed, then they'll reap precious seed. If you witness, you'll reap from that witnessing. If you pray, you'll reap from that praying. If you serve God, you'll reap from that. And in proportion, if the Bible says here, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you reap sparingly, or sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you are a tightwad, then don't expect much. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Not just with money, with everything. If you're a tightwad with your time, you're going to reap for that. If you're a tightwad with your talents, you're going to reap that. You can't outgive God, friends. That's been my experience. He's good to us, isn't he? So the Bible tells us what Jesus said. He said the same principle. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall save it unto life eternal. What was Jesus trying to say? He was trying to say there's more to this life than just this life. There's something ahead of us, folks. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Everything here is going to pass away, isn't it? Everything here. Nice as it is, homes, houses, lands, all that stuff's going to pass away, isn't it? All that stuff's... I guess what I'm saying is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put Him first in your life, Christians. Put Him first. Then God will take care of you. He'll take care of you. The Bible says, there is that that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty. We may sow in sorrow, but we can reap in joy. We may sow in sorrow, but we can reap in joy. I read this quote yesterday. It said, God gave His Son in view of the harvest of humanity. God gave His Son in view of the harvest of humanity. God, He gave His very best, didn't He? Let me urge you just a little bit in my closing remarks here. God is able to turn your captivity. Whatever's in your life that's causing you heartache and trouble, God's able to turn that. And God is able to give you a harvest. I can assure you, just as we were shocked when Matthew called us that night, my mom was shocked when I called her that Saturday afternoon. And mothers, some of you might get shocked one of these days when your grandson or your granddaughter or your son or daughter calls you up and says, hey, guess what, Mom? I got saved. Or, hey, guess what, Mom? I'm back in church. I've been away from God and I got right. Isn't that a blessing? I think we ought to pray that way. I think we ought to look for that. My mom was looking for it. She wrote it down. She was right. She was praying about it. Let me say this. You can come rejoicing if you sow in tears. In this psalm that I've read to you today, we see, number one, we see our own inability. We see that my mom could pray for me, but she couldn't save me. We need the Lord. God has to turn the captivity, doesn't He? God has to set the captives free. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. We can't do anything without the Lord. You can't do anything. You can make a big mess. You can do that pretty good. We can all do that, can't we? We can make a big mess, but we need the Lord. We need His help. We need His direction. We need His guidance. We need Him every day. Then I want us to notice the shortness of time for the work to be done. You know, you can only plant so long. You can only plant so long. And then the time's up. You plant too late, you won't get a crop. You plant too early, you won't get a crop. I have to tell you this. We have to work while it's day because the night cometh when no man can work. And I want to tell you this. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I know what I read the papers, I see the news. It's a dark world we live in. I mean, it's bad out there. People's wrapped up in all kinds of stuff. But you know what that means? That means the fields are ripe. And they're ready to harvest. I believe with all my heart God could send a great revival and save a lot of people. I believe God can still save people, don't you? I believe He's still in the soul-saving business. If He can save me, He can save other people. He can save you. He can save your children, your grandchildren. He's able. He's able. And then... It's a serious responsibility. It's a serious responsibility. The Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We've got a duty, do we not? We need to persuade the lost. And then again, verse 6 of Psalm 126 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing. Shall doubtless come again rejoicing. Listen, I just want to give you some hope today. You pray and try to lead and try to help and guide and direct your children, your family and those around you. And I really believe God will bless that. You'll doubtless come again. You'll doubtless come again rejoicing. I'm so thankful today that God saved me. And being Mother's Day, I'm thankful for a praying mother. And I'm thankful that she cared about me and didn't give up on me. Aren't you glad some of you had mothers that didn't give up on you? I know. I'm meaner than all of y'all. I realize that. But God been good to me. I want to see my... I want to tell you something, folks. I had grandparents prayed for me. You need to be praying. If you've got grandkids, you need to be praying for them when they're that big. You need to be praying for them. Pray God would save them. They'd live. There's a lot of trouble kids can get into today, isn't there? There's a lot of danger out there. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, when I was a kid, it was bad enough, but you could get into stuff now that you'll never get over. It'll affect your whole life. So we need to pray. We need to pray. I'm going to stop. Again, I want to exhort you. If you're not saved today, trust Him. Trust Him. I've done my best to tell you how good it is to be saved. But it's kind of like a real good dessert. You're just going to have to taste and see that the Lord is good. All my describing is not going to get it. You just going to have to try it. Amen. If you're not saved today, won't you trust Him? Won't you trust Him?